Amen. Thank you, everyone. Our younger people are now going to go through to their groups, but let's just pray for them as they go. Heavenly Father, I pray that although they move next door to enjoy their groups, that your Holy Spirit be with them as much as you are with us this morning. I pray they will be infilled by your Spirit and full of joy. Amen. I'd like to invite Gillian to come and bring us our reading for this morning.
Our reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 3, Moses and the Burning Bush, a story that takes me back to my Sunday school days at Zion Baptist Church, and a story which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. My prayer is that through the reading of God's word and the word brought to us from Emmet, we may take away with us a new nugget to encourage us through the coming week. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And Moses led the flocks to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you all will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever.
The name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. A burning bush. Pretty incredible, isn't it? But the word of God knocks that into a different path, doesn't it? Just reading God's word can change us and affect us quite strongly. You can probably tell. You are the God who has unlimited strength. You surround us, you encourage us, you feed us, you strengthen us, you provide for us. We haven't got to fear anything because you lift us up as if on the wings of an eagle. Lord, that is awesome. Lord, we praise you for your provision. We praise you for your love. We praise you for your mercy. We thank you for the indwelling and the equipping of your Holy Spirit. For you are the Lord God Almighty, and we are your family, and we praise you, Lord God. We praise you this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Please take a seat. Emad, my friend. Let's just pray for Emad before he shares the word. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the word that you have had written down so that we can turn to it. And every time we look at your word, Heavenly Father, we are conscious of your Holy Spirit talking to us, ministering to us. Lord, I pray this morning that the words that Emad will speak will be from you. That Heavenly Father, he will be the vessel by which your voice, your spirit, comes to us this morning. Lord, I pray you will give him wisdom and spirit and as he speaks to us in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I love this story. I love Moses. You know why? He's an Egyptian. Come on. He is, yes? Okay, that is why I like him. You know, this, you cannot deny it. Is this the problem? Okay, right, let's backtrack a little bit on the story, which we really know it by heart. As Julian said, we know it since Sunday school. Million times you heard this story, million times I believe you heard sermon about it. But what's in it? Let's back a little bit in chapter 2. A couple get married, have a little son, born on a time where if you have a born son will be killed. The Satan have ideas of how to kill a vision. He understand how the promise of God from the beginning to Adam and Eve that this son will crush the head of the Christ. Therefore, the plan in his head, let's cut this vision out of the way. Every born son, kill him. He liked destroying vision. But those two guys, this couple fears the Lord and hide him for 3 months. Cannot do it anymore. Okay? Because they fear him, they let it go and let him take care of it. Found by the daughter of the Pharaoh, and the mom become the one she can nursing him. Very interesting. And the daughter of the Pharaoh said so. Take care of him, and after that, bring him to me, and I will pay you. You are going to be paid as a mother. That is interesting again. Can we do it these days, maybe? Okay. Right. But this is the thing. Until he become a child, this is what the Bible said, the mom kept him until he become a child. He understood what does it mean, I am a Hebrew. He understood who is his family is. He understood where he is and what he stands for. The mom invested a lot in nursing him, but praying for him and nurture him. Therefore, mom and dad, your prayer is not going anywhere. It will be answered. It's taken care of. Your investment in your kids is well worth it because he does the work and he listens. Yes? Right. The other thing is, hand him to the daughter of the Pharaoh. In Book of Acts 7, they are telling the missing part of the Exodus 2 and 3. Between Exodus 2 and 3, there is a part missing. But the Book of Acts 7, Stephen stand and he said, but Moses learned and educated by the all science and knowledge of the Egyptians. He know it all. And he can speak well, and he can understand everything. Very well-educated man. In everything. All the knowledge of the Egyptians. All the engineering, all the science. Everything. Including the gods of Egypt. And we'll come to that one in a minute. That missing bit between 2 and 3, it has been revealed in the book of Acts that he learned all this. When he reached 40, imagine you are a Hebrew and you know that you are a Hebrew, but you are adopted by an Egyptian Pharaoh, the god. And the people looking at you, that you are the savior, because we are a slave. He take it upon himself. I said, okay, my mission is to do this. He decided his own calling, because he felt, this is my duty to do. I will do it by my power. I'll take it upon myself. Maybe some of them looked to him like what they done to Jesus. Is that the Jesus, son of Mary, the one from Nazareth? Are you sure he's going to perform anything? They did exactly the same to him, maybe. Or maybe you are the savior. You are one of us. You can do it. Pressure. He decided to take it on himself. He decided to do it. He decided to do, okay, I'll do this. First thing to do, okay, I'll kill an Egyptian to show that I can do it. It backfired. Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? Right, it means if all the Hebrew guys know this, it means Pharaoh will know this, it's easier for me to run away. Okay, now let's come to our preaching. This was the introduction. My preaching today, I will do like the Baptists do. I have a title and 3 points. And my title is, The Dynamic of Your Calling. How it works. What is the dynamic of the calling? The calling, it cannot work without those 3 points I'm coming in to. There is a dynamic of your calling. If one of those elements is out of it, it will not work. Let's have a look to this dynamic. The dynamic of the calling is, number one, is the understanding the presence, power of the whole Trinity on the whole equation. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have big part of this dynamic. And I mean it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We celebrated a few weeks ago the Pentecost, and we know what the power of the Holy Spirit is. We talk about that one a little bit. And without it, I cannot do anything. I cannot glorify the Father through Jesus. And we talk about this complex relationship. It's exactly the same what happened in this burning bush. When the angel appeared in the Jewish tradition, anything come from above is called the angel. But this angel of the Lord, it can be Jesus too. Why? In the same one, and he said, I am the God of Abraham, and I am, again, the God of Isaac, and I am, again, the God of Jacob. Is that the burning bush? Introducing himself this way. Therefore, it's not an angel. It's Jesus saying that. The burning bush, it can be reflecting the glory of God, reflecting different ways. But the fire is reflecting the power of the Holy Spirit too, as our understanding in the New Testament. It appears so many times. But that combination I'm talking about, that work or that element of the whole Trinity, it happened many times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. If you remember Isaiah in chapter 6, I saw the Lord sitting in his throne and the angel saying, holy, holy, holy. And I felt what? Rubbish, I'm a sinner. I cannot be in that place. And he take a big glowing fire and touch my mouth and I become clean. It's the same scenario of the calling and who I'm going to send. Same scenario of the calling with Moses. Take up your shoes off, take them out. You are in a holy ground. You are in a place where is my presence, my fire, me standing here. You are in that holy place. You will find that with Elijah. I am standing in front of what? Who? The living God. And let this fire come down, it will come down. Because what you are doing, you are standing in the right place of that holiness and that connection of God with God. Let's talk Jesus. Baptism. A voice from heaven said what? This is my beloved son, not just son. And the Holy Spirit come and come on him. And Jesus, the Son of Man, is connected with that connection of God. Therefore, number one, you are in that presence of the anointing, the holy, the fire of God. You are there. I have some good news for you. You remember when you have been dunked here? Whatever church you have been in and get baptized, you're baptized by water and Holy Spirit on fire. Here is a thing, guys. John the Baptist said, I will baptize you with water, but he will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he didn't put a comma on fire. And fire. Two different things. Two different elements. A Holy Spirit and fire. It's not connected together. It's two different things. How are you today? How is your baptism of fire working? Baptism of fire meaning holiness. Baptism of fire meaning God is allowed to clear and clean and kick out all the stuff is not belong to him. How is the baptism of fire working? When you come to the burning bush place in your quiet time and with your life, who you are meeting with? Your pity party, I'm sorry about myself in his presence, or meeting with the Almighty God? Who I am meeting with? Meeting with this blazing, consuming fire to baptize me again, or I'm meeting with my problem this morning and I'm praying about it. I'm not meeting with God, I'm meeting with my problem. Who I am meeting? Who I am allowing to work in my life? God or my problems? Who is controlling me, my relationship with God or my problems? One more thing. His presence, the power of his presence, this number one. Number two is me. Without me included in this circle, nothing will happen. No, because I'm good. I tried it and I killed the Egyptian. But as Zechariah said, not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord, meaning I have a part to play in that one. As Elijah said, I am standing in front of the living God. Therefore, what will happen, it happened. The living God is living God there. But without Elijah standing and speaking it out, nothing will happen. Got it? Therefore, your place in the Trinity, God reveal and you do. Doesn't mean that he's not able to do it. He is able to do it. But it's his pleasure, according to the book of Proverbs, to work with you. You don't believe me, yes? Or you didn't hear that proverb bit before? This is my delight with the human being. This is what he said. His delight that you take part of what you're doing. Forget about proverb. Let's talk about Peter. Second Peter. I made you a king and priest. What to do to have, to take part on that relationship with me? Are you a partaker? We talked about that a million times before. You are partaker in his presence. Therefore, the dynamic, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you in that place, you are doing the job together. And this is his delight. John 15, forget about all this. John 15, 4, remain in me as I remain in you. Every time you take this one, it's not for the fun of it every first Sunday of the month. You are renewing your covenant with him. Remain in him. Right. Number three. Because of the time. I didn't ask Graham to read the first verse of Philippians, but he did. This is what the beauty of the Holy Spirit. We'll come to that one. For 400 years in Egypt, all what you remember, we are a Hebrew family. 70 of us came because Joseph was there and he invited us in to enjoy our life in Egypt, luxury. 400 years later, it became a history that I know in the back of my head that he is the father of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But because 400 years I get involved so much with the culture of Egypt, and I learn their ways, and I learn about their gods, and maybe I worship them too. And the dialogue was between God and Moses, who am I to send to the Pharaoh? Are you out of your mind? This is God on earth. You are not, you don't know what you're talking about. Absolutely, you are not sure. Who I'm saying, I'm a God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Thank you. I know that. Thanks for the information. I love it. But who are you? If I go to them and tell them he is the God of, we know that 400 years ago, mate. What are you talking about? But Moses said something very interesting. Tell me your name. And I start thinking about it. Every Egyptian god have a name. And every Egyptian god, the name indicate of the power he can control and do. Therefore, attached to Moses, if you are that powerful guy, that bush, which I know, any bush can, because of the heat in the desert, can burn and you can smell it, but that is burning and is not consuming and is not burning. What is going on? I know who you are. I know your power. What's your name? Because your name carrying your power. Because this is what I understand as an Egyptian. If there is God, has a name, and the name indicates his power. What is your power and what is your name? And when he say, I am who I am, Hebrew, Ahia, who Ahia. What that mean to you? When you said, I am who I am. What that bring to your heart? What that mean to you? He's a beginning and end. The everlasting. Alpha and Omega. There is no beginning in him and there is no end in him. He's beyond time. He's the creator of everything. This is the God you worship. But is it knowledge or is life?
My Father, we acknowledge your name this morning. We ask for your name not just to be upon our lips, but to be a part of us, for us to be in you. Lord, we acknowledge your authority, your power, your wisdom, your almightiness this morning. Our God Almighty. Amen.